Title of the message is Creation and Evolution. I did not say or for a reason. I'm going to read from Genesis 2, 4 through 7. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. I'm going to switch to a different translation. And at the time when Yahweh God created heaven, earth and heaven, there was as yet no wild bush or on the earth, nor had any wild plant yet sprung up. For Yahweh God had not sent rain on the earth, nor was there any man to till the soil. However, a flood was rising from the earth and watering all the surface of the soil. Yahweh God fashioned man from the dust of the dust from the soil. Then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and thus man became a living being. I watched my dog chase his tail for 10 minutes, and I thought to myself, wow, dogs are easily entertained. Then I realized I just watched my dog chase his tail for 10 minutes. In the world of ideas, who is the dog and who is the dog's tail that we are chasing? And who is easily entertained? Can we be so caught up in supporting an idea that it becomes like a dog chasing its own tail, easily convinced? I heard this on Fox News. It was supposed to be on Fox News. Tony Perkins, I'm sure most of us know who Tony Perkins is. He's an evangelical leader, the head of the Family Research Council. And he claimed on Fox News that mass shootings are caused by driving God from a public square. This is his quote, driving God from the public square, and specifically by teaching kids about evolution. Quote, we have taught our kids that they come about by chance through a primordial slime, and then we are surprised that they treat their fellow Americans like dirt. He said this the other week after 7 people were killed in Texas and 21 were wounded. Quote, I think we have to go back to the point where we instill in these children, at least give them the opportunity to know that they are created in the image of God. Therefore, they have inherent value. Perkins also claimed that it is impossible to have morality without religion, a view he says George Washington had shared. He did not, however, offer any theory as to how nations with lower levels of religious adherence managed to avoid mass shootings. I want to make it clear, I do not want to pick on Tony Perkins, just his argument. He has the right to believe and to think how he wants. But I also have the right to look at what his argument is and to dissect it. It's a very simple answer and a response to a very complex problem. To trace the shooter's mindset and action back to evolution, I think, is a little bit far stretch. I do believe that ideas have consequences, but I also see this here, as Tony Perkins's view, as so narrow and one track. How does one put a train of imagination on a single track? The train falls over, and so does the idea of Tony Perkins. I think that part of what we call freedom in Christ is the use of our imagination. I'm going to call it spiritual imagination. Imagination or spiritual imagination is where the fermenting of new ideas, different ideas and understandings begin. It's where the Spirit speaks and speaks to you as an individual. We then, out of our imagination, try to convert what we imagine into words. In some ways, I look at this as the breath of the idea somewhat. Out of the breath we speak. It's where a place in which all of us can truly be free. I think in one's imagination, you can be free. You're allowed the freedom to think. And I think that's where Christ, one of the things that freedom in Christ is about. The ability to think freely and to imagine and allow the Spirit to ferment within your imagination. It's where ideas can be bent. And it is where thought is a liquid and where thoughts flow like water and where you can build. Out of this, we try to use literal words to illustrate our imagination. Our words should drive us into our imagination to think. If in the case of Tony Perkins's idea in which he attaches evolution to a shooter, where is his spiritual imagination? To hang on the idea or the theory of evolution, seven deaths, seven innocent people, and others injured, I think is a stretch too far. Yes, I think it requires spiritual imagination to believe this idea, but it is what I call a weaponized spiritual imagination. One can weaponize an idea to do damage, and that is being done a lot. It is used to kill off other ideas, and that, in my world, is not freedom in Christ. How can freedom in Christ be without an imagination or to be able to think? In the case of evolution, in which some think go back to the primordial slime or the pond scum, as some people have called it over the years, isn't God in the slime and in the pond scum? Extreme ways of trying to kill off an idea. I find it rather trying in the days that we live. It's done everywhere. Yes, I think God created us. But I asked this simple question. Which God do you like, the Old Testament God or the New Testament God? Do you like the God that is of the Old Testament that is revengeful and jealous and wants a strict obedience to the letter of the law? Or do you want freedom in Christ, in which Christ allows the imagination to flourish? Examples I will use is Abraham, when the angels came to visit him and told him at an older age that he was going to have a large family as much as the stars in heaven. You don't think he had to use his imagination to accept that idea? Or how about Mary, when she was told that she was pregnant with the Son of God, when she had no relations with no man? How can this be, she asks. You don't think she used her spiritual imagination in order to understand what she is being told? Jesus, of all people, used his imagination, his spiritual imagination, to portray to us how to live together. We have to accept that and ponder how we're going to do that. It's not just as easy as accepting a way of thinking and that's it. One has to use one's imagination and how to apply about everything that Jesus taught. And that gives you a wide range of application. It is not a dogma or doctrine. As I go and I'm going to look into the text, I'm a person who believes that creation and evolution is alive and well in the Bible. They don't have to be in conflict with each other. They both play out in the creation story very easily, in my understanding. Of course, in some people's worlds, that's not the way it is. One has to believe one way at the expense of another. I don't believe that. I want to look at the text, and it's what we consider to be part of the second account of creation. And it says, and my point in what I want to make here as I go along is that there was time and space in between each action in which was taken. So between the time of no shrubs and man becoming a living being, at the beginning and end of the reading, there is plenty of room for time and time and time and ages and epochs of time. We may not traditionally have been taught that way, but it is. One of the ways in which some people believe creation has started is that God created everything and then he pushed the start button and everything was in action. So everything stood still until it was all created. There's a whole list of ways in which people understand creation. So between no shrubs and a living being was time. So it says, now no shrubs have yet appeared on the earth. So it's referring to a time in the past. Some time in the past. No plants have yet sprung up. So the earth had to be a barren place. One could say it was full of volcanic eruptions. No plants could grow. It was still hot. Science has said that that was the process in the beginning of how the earth was formed. So it's very easily to see science in here. I do not believe the stories of the Bible should be used as science. That's another thing that I think is too often done. Science is put into it, read into it, and we want to make a science book out of the Bible. It explains why things are the way they are, but it's not science. It may have science in it, but it's not a science book. Said no plants had yet sprung up, for the Lord God, and this is another from the last text to this text, it goes from God to Lord God or Yahweh God, in which the text changes. It illustrates that there's something different going on. We have to look at it differently. We have to think about it differently. Every word along the way is meant for us to think and to expand our mind and to use our imagination. It's not meant to take literally in the hardcore literal sense. It gives us plenty of space to allow our imagination to ferment. There was yet, as yet, no, this is another different translation, and there was as yet no wild bush on the earth. So the word wild bush could be translated or as an illustration of chaos. And there was a lot of nothing necessarily organized on the earth. It was a time in which everything was chaotic. Nor was there any wild plants yet sprung up. Nothing was domesticated. It was all wild. There's time and space between each little event along the way. Things happened, and then it evolved. I believe in creation and allowing things through time to evolve. And I know, and I have been told in another church that I cannot use the word evolve, not even in a Bible study. Things change, they don't evolve. Yeah, I was told I couldn't use it.
By whom?
I won't say. No one in this church. But nevertheless, as how sensitive this word is to people. So it was a time in which the earth was wild. So there, in which, and so this was a time when the earth was forming. And it says, Yahweh God did not send, or God did not, Lord God did not send rain on the earth. So there was no clouds, no atmosphere as we know it. So the earth was going through a process. It was evolving through time and changing. And nor was there any man to till the soil. There was no agriculture. It was a time before agriculture. Sciences tell, or if you study one of the sciences that deal with the history of civilization and mankind, there was a time when mankind was hunter-gatherers, and then he went to an agriculture or an agrarian society. And what I found interesting about that time, there was five different places across the globe that it all happened at the same time. And it's interesting to note, and the question I asked, which the lecturer did not deal with, was why did it happen? He just basically said, I don't know. He didn't want to enter into that discussion because he wasn't dealing with an issue of a God issue. He was only recording history as he knew it of the earth. However, a flood was rising. I take that as change was coming. A flood was rising. So I can read into that. The earth was about to change. A flood was rising from the earth and watering all the surface of the soil. So it tells us how the water started coming up from the underneath and spreading across the top of the surface. And it was a great change. And we know this. We know that the sciences have told us how the water has separated, and there was a time when land masses were together and they're not no more. We know that the earth went through great changes. So it's constantly evolving and changing. It constantly is evolving. I want to use that word as much as I can. maybe I have an agenda. Not really.
Well, you can go ahead and make it into a noun, evolution.
Evolution.
The Living Bible says there were no plants or grain sprouting up across the earth at first, for the Lord God hadn't sent any rain, nor was there anyone to farm the soil.
Right. So,
however, water welled up from the ground at certain places and flowed across the land.
I'm going to call on you in a minute on your different translations. But yes, there was nothing domesticated. What I read in there was nothing domesticated. There was no seeds, there was no grains, there was nothing domesticated. You can read into that. And there was a time when hunter-gatherers, when nothing was domesticated. So you can very easily read into that text exactly what you said there. Yahweh God fashioned man out of or from soil. Now, what I want to ask you, Jeannie, I have my NIV says a man. This Jerusalem Bible says man. And there are some texts that use a man and some say man.
And the modern language says the man.
The man, okay.
And the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground.
Okay, what's the other one say?
The Lord God formed a man's body from the dust of the ground. Yeah. Breathed into it.
That's singular.
And then Revised Standard is what you had, isn't it?
Right. Amen.
Well, the Lord God formed man of dust.
Okay.
Not the or a, just man.
It's amazing to me how one can insert a as meaning one man. That's a very simple way of trying to manipulate the text to go in a certain direction. In other words, they want to say that Adam and Eve was the first man and woman, or Adam was the first man. But the texts don't really say that, really. It says man. So that leaves your imagination open to where that the possibility of multiples of humanity. At least it gives room for it. And each time Yahweh God or the Lord God did something, there is plenty of room for space for evolution to work and for humanity to change over time. So as you're beginning to see, you can see, whether you agree or disagree with me or not, creation and evolution go hand in hand. And it's all in how you want to read it and how you want to give it support and how you want to prop up. So at first, God fashioned a man from the dust of the soil. Okay, fashioned or formed means you set limits. So if I'm going to form something, I'm putting limitations on by forming something. So humanity was shaped but yet had limitations. It was formed. And he breathed into, so as I say I'm going to make something, I'm going to start to fashion it. I'm going to design it. I'm going to look at it. It's going to take me time to do that. Now, unless you believe that God snapped his fingers and was a magician and everything happened at once, which I don't think that that is what the text is trying to say, because the writer is trying to portray some idea. Every one of these sections in the Bible are meant to portray an idea. The writer is trying to illustrate an idea. It's not a literal sense. Things are manipulated or changed around so that an idea of the writer is trying to put forth. So for me, the idea is trying to put forth that it took time to do these things. You put limitations by forming man. And then he says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That is another section and another time and another epoch of time. Now, I'm going to throw something out and let you ponder on it as I come to a conclusion here in a few minutes. Do you think that when God formed the man from the soil, that that body or that being was alive? When in the first step of creating man, he said, God fashioned man of the dust of the soil. Was that being alive?
Yeah, and then the second part of the sentence is then God breathed the breath and made it a living person.
Okay.
The Living Bible. And that where I said that God formed a man, it was God formed a man's body from the dust of the ground and breathed into it the breath of life. So it wasn't living until God breathed the breath of life into it.
But the materials, the soil and stuff already have kind of like a life force.
Very good. Yes.
What'd you say?
She said the clay and the material that Yahweh God used had life in it already. If you use, go ahead, say.
Just the, you know, the material like the soil or stuff, that already has a life force. So, yes, in a sense, he was alive.
Yes.
But the breath made him more.
The soul did not enter into the being. I listened to a thing about clay. There was a lady, on Link Channel that we got. And it was a history of a woman who in the United States who used clay to make plates and eventually made it plates and commercialized and eventually grew. And clay has a life energy of itself. That's one of the things I picked up from what I learned. There's an energy within the clay. So I would say yes, it was some type of life. Now, the next step is the breath, and then it became something. Now, I'm gonna throw something in here for later on, or right now, or whatever. The idea that we're dealing with the idea of abortion now. What is one of the Jewish thoughts is that the soul or does not enter the body until after birth at some time. After the child is born, the soul or the individuality of the person enters into the body. 14 days, they say, up to 14 days. This is accepted thought. I'm not saying this is justification for abortion. I'm simply saying, does this text allow that to be real or to come to fermenting?
I think it could be so, but I think maybe it could be the other way too. We don't know that the soul could be, in the womb too, when the baby's forming.
I think we don't know. I think that's the question. You have to stand up and turn around. She said we don't know for certain.
Yeah, because actually maybe the soul can be also in the baby in the womb.
Right.
And maybe that soul has the chance to enter the body after birth.
Well, none of these translations uses the word potential. But to me, the soil of the earth had the potential for life. It may not have been alive yet, but it had the potential, because then when God breathed into it, it came to be life. And so I think of it as potential.
So I'll use bad English. In the becoming process, I think that's
potential means potential. Possibility.
There's a process along the way in which we are born over here as a living being, but it's a process along the way.
Millions of years.
Millions of years. I mean, everybody thinks like the name is Mars, not the life on the earth, and millions of years it evolves. Yes. Well, 14 billion years, I think they think the Earth is, something like that. Now, that's debatable whether or not you're a young Earth creationist or an old Earth creationist idea. I mean, if you're a 6-day, 24-hour, whatever. But I didn't even get into the discussion of the use of the word day, because that would require more than I had time for this morning. But the use of the word day is a message in itself. So it's a time span. I'm only looking at it in how we can imagine different ideas. Now, I'm not saying that because if you would use this to support abortion, I'm not saying you should do that. I'm simply saying that there's stages along the way as we become who we are. I think that's what it illustrates. Now, can you say, as Cynthia said, it was, millions of years? Yes, you can apply that to these texts very easily. Or you can apply it individually, I think. I seen some people shaking their head when I said about the soul not entering at birth, and they didn't really like that idea. If you do a little bit of research, there's quite a few people who believe that the soul goes back and forth quite a few times before you're actually born, and that life can sustain itself without the individual soul there. When you have near-death experience or out-of-body experiences, what happens there? The body lives on while you're someplace else. It's still living. So I'm not. It's a controversial subject, I understand. But nevertheless, in this text, I think it does allow for that idea to ferment very easily. Right.
Don't even have to agree, but you can think about it.
You can also look at it, these three events, as God formed and made and we became, like a baker who mixes ingredients together, and you pour it into a mold, into a cake mold, and then you put it in the oven and you bake it and it becomes a cake. Or I deliver a load of lumber to a job site and it becomes a house eventually, or a building of some sort. There's a process in the whole thing. it evolves, it changes. There's many people involved in building a house, as there are many gods in the process of building who we are.
At one point, like the wood or the tree was a living thing.
Yes.
So when you put it into your house, just because you chop it down, we want to say it's dead, but is it really?
No, it carries with it energy.
But
you're getting into a subject that traditional Christianity does not want to venture into. And I think we have done ourselves a great disservice. Christianity has done itself a great disservice by eliminating a lot of this these ideas to ferment. We want to say, like Tony Perkins, one idea, and we'll be like a dog chasing our tail to try to defend it. I think that's what we do. I think we do a lot of that. And the question I want to leave, unless anybody else has a comment, is, I mean, what ideas do we have that we are like a dog chasing its tail, that we will defend it at all costs, from the political to the spiritual? What is it that we are chasing? Do we have an imagination? God gave us an imagination. Use it.
Free. Spread your word and help others. Amen.